Take your Bibles today and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we find the Apostle Paul argues in favor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are those who believe that once we die, we're just like our favorite dog, that we just go to the grave and that's the end. But according to the Word of God, there is a place that we will go to, and it's either heaven or it is hell. And Jesus Christ came that we could have salvation so that we could go to heaven. Unfortunately, in many of our churches today, hell has become a four-letter word, and we dare not use it in the house of God. But the fact is that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about hell and the fact that people need to be prepared to meet their Maker. It is very certain that Paul felt that the resurrection was sure, and he used the victorious words that we will read shortly in verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The born-again believer can, without trepidation, look death in the face and declare to die is gain. Amen. If one knows Christ as their Savior, they do realize that death is the door that will lead them into eternity, into heaven. But for the lost, it is a time of fear. It is a time of uncertainty, and often the only way that people can deal with the death of a lost person is in the bottle. It is with drugs as they try to ease their pain over the loss of one going to hell. Though life may be uncertain, the believer knows that death will usher us into the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shall we stand together, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll begin reading at verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. And this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So then, this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say here before we read verse 58, we cannot work our way into heaven. We are not good enough. We do not have enough money to purchase our way into heaven. We cannot get into heaven because of our education or our background. We can only get into heaven through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And now verse 58, my favorite 1 Corinthians verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the security in knowing Christ as our Savior. Lord, we ask now that you would bless this time in the Word of God. May your name be honored and glorified. May the Holy Spirit touch hearts this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Point number one. And let me tell you, I have 3 points today. So point number one, be steadfast, unmovable. Every born-again believer should and needs to stand firm for the cause of Christ. Amen. One could only imagine what could be done through the local New Testament church if everyone that says they are saved would boldly stand for the Word of God, for the house of God, and for the people of God. Paul here is writing to fickle believers in Corinth. And how sad it is when there are those who say, well, I had an experience, and they name a certain date going back. Well, do you attend church today? Well, sometimes. Folks, we need to be in the house of God serving the Lord faithfully. In the book of Revelation, the Holy Spirit moved the Apostle John to write about 7 different churches. You find them there in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. I believe that they were 7 churches that existed then. That they represent 7 types of churches that exist today. But also that they represent 7 different periods of time in what is known as the church age. And most that believe that we are in the 7th time of Laodicea. Of the 7 churches, 2 of them had no complaint against them. The churches of Smyrna and Philadelphia. And those 2 churches were praised for their good works, for their love, for their patience, for their endurance. But Ephesus was rebuked for having left its first love. They didn't lose their first love. They left it. We find that Pergamos was rebuked for allowing false doctrine to be taught within the walls of their church. And we must be careful that false doctrine does not creep into our church. We find that Thyatira was rebuked for allowing a false teacher to preach. Sardis was rebuked for having a reputation for being alive when they were really dying. And we probably all know that the church of Laodicea had no commendation, but was rebuked for being lukewarm and self-righteous. As this church nears its 65th anniversary, I wonder how our Lord would judge us. Would he declare that we have left our first love? In other words, we have replaced our Savior with things of this world? Would he say this, that we have a pulse, but that it is barely detectable? Would he say that we are conservative by nature, but we are liberal in our mindset? Do we have a mind for foreign missions and even a willingness to support home missions but are not concerned about local missions? Sadly, maybe that's where we're at today. Paul to the church at Ephesus encouraged them, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The wiles of the devil. Well, what are some of these wiles? Well, how about entertainment? We live in a world that is full of entertainment. In fact, we desire to be entertained 24/7. In fact, some people say they don't like having to drive their car because it takes them away from their cell phones and their entertainment. The other day I was at the library and I thought that, you know, I'd like to get something we could watch in the evening. And so I looked through the library's group of DVDs and I came across something called Mike and Molly. And I had never seen the program, and I looked at it, and I read a little bit about it, and I thought, well, that might be entertaining. And so I took Mike and Molly home, and I plugged it in, and it didn't take me but 10 minutes to realize that Mike and Molly was not entertainment that anyone should watch. That it was vulgar, lewd. And I thought to myself, I hope that none of our people at the Covenant Baptist Church watch Mike and Molly. See, we live in a society that believes that entertainment should come no matter what its moral standings. But folks, we need to stand up for what is right and pure. See, we live in a day and age where drugs and alcohol take us in the wrong direction. We live in a day of immorality. We find that there are those who are promiscuous. And what about pornography? I tell you what, it is a curse on America. When they say freedom of the press and freedom of speech, our founding fathers never thought that we would include pornography in that. Its vulgarity has ruined hundreds and yea thousands of marriages. The wiles of the devil, though, include self-righteousness. Includes those who gossip and half-truths. For those who are jealous and bitter and angry. And even having an unwillingness to forgive. The wiles of the devil. We are to be steadfast. To be steadfast implies consistency and dependability. It means that we are firm in our faith, that we are resolved to stand, that we are unwavering, that we are loyal, that we are faithful. Paul is writing to this church at Corinth and telling them, you need to be firm. You need to be resolute, unwavering, loyal, and faithful to the cause of Christ. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can I say this, that when we walk with the Lord, it's not that we should get Him to agree with us, but that we are to agree with Him. We are to agree with this. The Word of God was not something that was good to 2020, and after 2020, well, we can change it now. No, it is still the Word of God, and it still needs to be read and obeyed. If you would, the book of Hebrews, keeping your place here in 1 Corinthians, but Hebrews chapter 12, two well-known verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We are to be steadfast. And to do that, there are things that we must do. And the author of Hebrews says this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those that stood firm, the witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth, or which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ is our example of standing fast and being unmovable. Peter is an example of one that when victory was within his grasp, He took his eyes off the Lord and began to sink below the waves on the Sea of Galilee. How sad it is when we see those that have run well for a while and they've taken their eyes off the Lord. Oh, how I hate to see fellow believers take their eyes from the Lord and put them on material things, on immorality and entertainment, or worse, even on religion. Dr. Fleming was talking about the things that Josiah the king changed during his reign as king of Judah. And he removed religion. We have lots of religion in 2021 in our world. But religion will send us to hell. Religion is man's attempt to try to get in God's good graces. But God has given us the Word of God so that we know how to be right, to have our faith firmly planted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul carried this idea of steadfastness a little further by writing that we ought to be unmovable. We should be unmovable concerning the Word of God. That this is our textbook from cover to cover. That we don't eliminate the first 11 chapters where it tells us about creation and the flood. We need to realize that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That we are not here by chance. That we are not an accident. I tell you what, if you want to believe in creation, read about the monarch butterfly. Read about how that it goes on something that nobody else really wants, the milkweed, and how it lays its eggs there. And then how as the eggs mature and they become caterpillars. And then for some reason, they become a chrysalis. And then they come out of the chrysalis as a butterfly. Now, how does evolution ever try to tell you that came about? It is done by a divine creator. We need to be unmovable in our message that for the wages of sin, there is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Point number two, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding meaning overflowing, abundant, plentiful, copious in number. Abounding, our faith should abound. Abounding is going beyond what is expected. Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Praise God for that, right? That God's grace is greater and stronger than our sin. Ponder this thought, which I read the other day. Where the weight of my sin was heavy, the weight of God's grace in my life exceeded it. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. To abound in the work of the Lord is not merely doing enough, it is to do more. To do more. We find that only what is done for Christ will last. But we are not only to be unmovable, we are to be unstoppable. We are not only to be abounding in the Lord's work, but notice the word always. The Lord's work is not just done on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock or at 6 o'clock in the evening. It is 24/7, 365. Point number three, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Have you ever done something, maybe spent a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort on a project, only to have it fall apart? Probably some of us have done that. Maybe you have tried to fix something that maybe in the long run you'd have been better off just purchasing a new thing. Let me give you an example. I had a Craftsman lawnmower that I had bought from a neighbor who was moving into a condo. And I paid $120 for this Craftsman lawnmower, and I used it for over 20 years. That's pretty good, isn't it? But then it began to have problems, and I was attached. I liked my Craftsman lawnmower. And so I took it up to one of the places and I asked them to fix it. And so they said they fixed it, and I brought it home and I started it up, and boy, it roared fine. And I cut the lawn. I was so happy. I had my lawnmower back. And then I got it out the next week and it would not start. You know, there's nothing worse, Brother Wutke, than yanking on a cord on a lawnmower that won't start. And I'm sure all my neighbors were laughing, saying, "What is he doing out there?" And so you know what I did? I took it back to where they fixed it, and they said, okay, and they worked on it, and they gave it back to me, and I came back, and I started on that first yank, and I'm all excited because what? I have my Craftsman lawnmower. And I cut the grass. And it never started again. I spent over $150 trying to get my $120 lawnmower working. Oh, you know what happened? I put it out on garbage day. And it wasn't there 20 minutes. And I thought to myself, I hope you have better success than I do. You know, sometimes we work so hard at something and it doesn't get done. But when it comes to the work of the house of God, when we are working for the Lord, it is never in vain. Jacob Fuller, writing in the Victory Baptist Press, says, quote, "How easy it is to spend our lives doing things that are vain." He continues, "How many Christians have put off committing themselves to the Lord until tomorrow, only to wake up one day and realize they wasted their entire lives on vain things?" He concluded, "The devil will introduce constant distractions to the day you die, trying to get you to stop abounding in the work of the Lord." Unquote. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Was it last Sunday I happened to mention seeing the motorcycle group at the Meyer gas station? I think it was last Sunday, and I told you, I didn't know where they went every week. And what did I tell you I was going to do? I was going to ask. Because one of you said, well, maybe they are a Christian motorcycle group and that they go to a local church in the area. And I thought, I'm going to stop and ask them. And so today I pulled up beside the 30 or so motorcycles and the people, and they're all yapping and talking, and I'm looking to see if there are crosses on their vests or if there's something about the Lord and Savior, and I didn't see anything, and I thought, okay, and I rolled down my, am I showing my age when I say I rolled down my window? Do any of you roll down your windows? Now we just push a button, right? And down it goes down. And so I pulled up, and they're yapping and talking, and I'm thinking, okay, someone's going to have to notice I'm sitting here purposefully. And so finally one of the women came over, and I said, you know, I see you guys here every Sunday morning. I said, are you going to church? And she goes, no, we're not going to church. She goes, we're going downtown Detroit. She goes, we go all over the place. You know, people do things and church isn't even a consideration. And yet all of us know this. We will stand before the Creator someday. We will all be at the judgment. And those who are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ will be forgiven and be given entrance into heaven. And the others, no matter how religious they are, will be told to depart. And they'll be cast into utter darkness. Question. How steadfast would we be if we constantly were reminded that any sacrifice would be worth it? How unmovable would we be in God's will if we realized that God is watching and will reward our actions and attitudes? It's important, number one, that we know Christ is our Savior. But then number two, that we serve Him faithfully, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In conclusion, no matter what you contribute to the Lord, and no matter how small or great, and it will be in the eyes of the Lord, useful, and He will reward it. The Bible tells us that we will take whatever rewards that we are given, whatever crowns we are given, and we will cast them at the feet of Christ, wanting Him to receive all the honor and glory. I do hope that we have something to give to Him, that we have stood firm for the cause of Christ. Shall we stand together? Our song of invitation this morning is Just As I Am, 375. And that's how the Lord wants us to come, just as we are. We don't have to do part of the work and He does the rest. He wants to take us and use us. And I hope that we are willing to be used of the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would move and touch hearts. I pray, Lord, that we would be willing to be used. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.